Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Friday, everyone. You are now tuned in to the Soul Sessions Radio Show right here on the Flavor News Radio Network, teamed up with Soul City Radio, and you know how we do. First of all, I want to give a special shout out to the areas affected by Hurricane Sandy. Yeah, I lived through that. I was fortunate, but it was... my heart goes out to the folks up in New York. They got hit hard, and my prayers go out to them. And I don't know. It just puts things in perspective, you know. And speaking of perspective, I also want to give a shout out to my alma mater, Baltimore City College High School. Tomorrow we play the 123rd annual City Poly game. Things been going on for a long time, man. Like, that's like a part of Baltimore right there, the City Poly game, you know. And if you were fortunate to go to City, because, you know, you weren't too fortunate to go to Poly, I suppose. But anyway, I got a guest for you tonight. Singer-songwriter, talented individual all around, Miss Tracy Cruz is coming in to talk about her sophomore project, which is entitled Universe Soul Symphony. And that's soul, you know, like soul music. And I can't wait. You know, she's been doing it real big, getting a lot of acclaim and accolades, you know, well deserved, of course. And she's here tonight, and that's what's up. So, you know, she'll be in at the 10:30 mark, so I'm gonna go ahead and get things started for you on that music. I'm going to lead things off with a Luther Vandross double play. I'm just feeling that way tonight. And hold up. My cue got... Oh, never mind. I thought my cue got screwed up, but we're good to go. You are tuned in to Soul Sessions. Let me try that again. You are tuned in to Soul Sessions.
Let me hold you.
if only for one night. Let me keep you near to ease away fear. It would be so nice if only for one night.
Make you a king with wealth.
I apologize, folks. I'm having some serious technical difficulties over here. I'm not actually using my own equipment tonight. And, yeah, it appears this thing isn't as powerful as I thought. So I'm actually on my cell phone. I'm going to try to reboot so I can at least get a control of the... control of the switchboard because, yeah, this computer here. But anyway, show must go on, and I do apologize. So please, forgive me and bear with me. I see that my guest is on the line. I'm coming. Be patient with me, Ms. Cruz. I apologize. I guess it's one of those Murphy Law things. All right. Now, I think everything is back in order. Let me go ahead and bring my guest in. You know, I always got to do my formal introduction here. Tonight's guest released her award-winning debut project, Philosophy, in 2008, and recently released her sophomore project called Universe Soul Symphony, and that's soul as in soul music. Please help me welcome to the Soul Sessions Radio Show, Miss Tracy Cruz.
Hello, good evening. How are
good
you
evening.
Doing?
I'm good now. I mean, I don't know. Murphy's Law just went into full effect. Yeah. So I had to end up calling from my cell phone. Can you hear me okay? Because there's
yep,
this
I
problem
can hear you.
From...
I can hear you.
All right. Cool. All right, well, yes, let me officially welcome you to the Soul Sessions Radio Show. Thank you for taking time out of your busy Friday to come hang with me.
Thank you so much for having me.
No doubt, no doubt. Yeah. I got a lot of questions lined up.
Oh, okay, cool.
I tried. Yeah, so be prepared. Well, first, let me ask you, Universe Soul Symphony, what is the magic behind that? Because, you know, I see the soul, and, you know, it, the title itself just gives it a kind of like a, you know, like a universe. When I say universal, I mean in terms of the actual universe, that kind of appeals to me.
Well, you have a great concept of it. It actually is a project that we wanted to be more universal. You know, it is still soulful, but we wanted to make sure we created different styles of music that the younger generation and the more mature audiences can relate to and can get a sense of, you know, like an emotional journey through
right.
sound and lyrics, and we compiled, you know, different sounds, whether it's R&B soul, we have jazz, we have classical, electronic, funk. I mean, it's just a plethora of different soundscapes, and with the Universal Symphony concept, we came up with that idea because we believe that music is a universal language. It doesn't matter where we're from or how old we are. Music has the power to bind us, you know, unite us. And
right.
it's an emotional connector. You know, even if you don't understand the lyrics to a song, like if it's in a different language, somehow,
mm-hmm.
you know, it has the power to pull at your heartstrings.
Well, you're definitely telling the truth. I can attest to that perfectly. I mean, it's funny, you know, because I come from an engineering background, and
uh-huh.
in the engineering world, we say math is that universal language. But, it's maybe it's like the same, but just in different regards, because what you're saying makes absolute sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, like, I understand how they say math is a universal language as well.
But I mean, I just find those kinds of things interesting, and the fact that, you know, your music is actually touching upon that realm of thought, that's what draws me to it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah, so let me ask you, when did you know that this is what you wanted to do with your life?
Well, I loved music growing up. I started singing when I was 2, but I think that I knew I really wanted to pursue it as a serious career, like a lifelong career, when I was in college. I didn't realize it until then. You know, in the beginning stages of my life, I thought of singing as some form of entertainment and also a way to connect with people, but I really got serious in college. You know, I worked a lot of different 9-to-5 jobs, and I felt that it wasn't fulfilling me. And I felt that I needed to go back to my, you know, my true passion, which was music. And I just felt at home, you know, with music. I felt like I could be myself. I felt that my heart was just, you know, able to express and to enjoy the creation. And I felt that, okay, well, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to take the risk of leaving a 9-to-5 job and just, you know, stepping out and trying to really do this as a living.
Right.
So you know, it wasn't really in the back of my mind, you know, when I was younger. You know, it was fun for me. But then as I got older, I realized, wow, you know, I can't get away from it. You know, it's something that makes me feel complete. I mean, all these 9-to-5 jobs did not make me feel complete. You know, I would be at the register and I would be thinking about music. And I felt that I didn't belong, you know, in that environment. Like, it was a lot of fun, you know, and I love customer service, but it wasn't where I wanted to be. It wasn't where my heart was at the time. You know, it wasn't my space. And I also realized that, you know, music was my true calling when I got a message from this lady, and she thanked me for creating a song called Struggle. And she just said, you know, thank you for allowing me to cry and just open up and let go of my pain. Your words just really helped me. It strengthened me. And through her words, it was just powerful. I said, wow, you know, music is powerful. It can change somebody's life. Even if it's just one life, you know, that you touch, you know, your music goes a long way. And, you know, I believe that, you know, we have a responsibility. We have to use it in an appropriate way.
Right.
You know, it's more than just selling records. You know, it's healing, it's connecting, it's inspiring, it's, you know, music is supposed to just lift us up and, you know, inspire us to make a change or, you know, reach for our dreams. You know, it has so many different positive rays of light, you know, to be spread, you know, to the world.
I agree with you 100%. And to me, like, that's the difference, like, when you listen to stuff on mainstream radio as opposed to indie artists, because, you know, they're not making music for that. Not the stuff that you hear on mainstream radio. And I'm not trying to knock all of it as a whole, but, I mean, I'm pretty sure you've heard the songs that fall into the category of what I'm talking about. Like, you know, and it's nice to know that there are some artists out there that are still willing, you know, to use music in the form that it was meant to be. And, you know, that's how you carry it on, because if we just continue to go that way, like, you know, music's going to die because it's not going to have any meaning anymore. You know?
Yes.
I mean, you could tell it's kind of getting that way, too, because, you know, I ask a lot of younger folks, you know, what do they enjoy about about the music that they listen to. And usually all I hear is, you know, it's got a nice beat or whatever, the beat go hard or however they say it. And I'm like, that means you can't even listen to the lyrics of the song. Like, you know, there's nothing there for you to even listen to, and that's sad.
It is. It is very sad.
Yeah.
It's very sad. And I think with our younger generation, you know, it's really important to expose them to the music of, you know, people that were in that era, you know, like Stevie Wonder and Marvin Gaye and all of the other talented songwriters and singers, you know, expose them to the type of lyrics that conveyed, you know, substance.
Right.
It's really important. I feel that, you know, we have the responsibility to nourish them, you know, with positive music, with influential music.
Now, let me ask you a question. It just kind of popped in my head. You know, I know you have children, so...
I do.
how do you handle a situation where, you know, you go past your child's room and you hear the song that's being played and you're like, So then, like, you know, you kind of go in there and you want to have that conversation about when music was good, but, you know, they usually don't want to hear it because it's, you know what I'm saying? Like, how do you handle that? Because that's what the battle really comes down to. Moments like that with people, where you got to try to convince somebody that, you know, what you're listening to really has no meaning, and then they're fighting you all the way because, you know, it's like, well, I love this music. It's my music, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. I mean, it's a struggle, but. You know, it's worth it.
It is. It is. And, you know, as far as dealing with my children and the type of music that they listen to, I select the music that, you know, they play or, you know, are exposed to. You know, I make sure that they can listen to different styles of music, you know, whether it's gospel artists or jazz artists or, you know, classic soul. You know, they know Michael Jackson and they know Esperanza Spalding, they know who they are. Even Robert Glasper, they know who he is. And, and you know, it's just all a matter of saying, hey, you know, I want you guys to check this out. And, you know, what do you think? And, you know, and the more you play it, they're just like, they enjoy it because it's like a natural form of music or a natural way of life. You know, whatever you feed them, you know, that's what they're going to take with them. You know, if I expose them to, you know, all the, you know, like certain types of music on the radio, then that's, you know, all they're going to know. So it's like you have to make sure that, you know, you give them, you know, the good music, you know, the inspirational music, the music with substance first, you know, because they'll be able to distinguish, okay, quality. This is quality. So I make sure that I'm very, very, I mean, I would say I'm pretty strict at what kind of media content my children listen to and watch. So, yeah, you know, I try to expose them to that type of music, even to independent artists. You know, I make sure that they know what an independent artist is and who is an independent artist. So, you know, they are aware of the music that's out there and the good music that's out there. And I'm really, really happy that they're enjoying it.
I'm really, really happy that they're enjoying it.
And they're 6 and 5, you know. So I'm hoping, you know, that that they'll continue to appreciate Michael Jackson and Stevie Wonder and Esperanza Spalding and, you know, all of the greats, you know, all of the great artists out there.
Yeah, that's what's up. That's what's up. I mean, you know, I don't have any kids, so I can only imagine, like, how it would be, you know, just coming up, you know, music always being a part of my life. I probably would be the exact same way. As a matter of fact, I think I'm just going to take notes on your style and just save that for when that time comes. Because, I mean, it's good that you can, you know, expose them to that. Like, you're in a position to do that, too, you know. You know, even more so than just the average parent. You know, like, you are an artist, so you know exactly what you're talking about when you say it. And, you know, for your children especially to be so young, to actually, you know, latch on to that music.
Mm-hmm.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Speaking of music, I want to get into a track. Of course, I'm going to play Love's Galaxy because I just like the vibe of that.
Thank you.
The video, and the video was right on point with the vibe. Like, you know, that's the vibe. That's what I saw.
Oh, wow.
Right, and then I see the video. I'm like, yeah, that's it. That's it. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Like, that's what the song makes. That's how it makes me feel. It's like that universal, you know, you're just kind of like flying through the solar system or something. All right, but, you know, I want you to explain it in your own words, what this song is, and then we'll
Sure. This is my song called Love's Galaxy, and it's from my album Universal Symphony. And I wrote this for all of you lovers out there. You know, I wanted to make sure that I created a song that inspires you to dig deeper, to nurture your relationships, and to take it a step further and really build a strong foundation of love and trust and friendship and so forth. So, you know, basically the song Love's Galaxy is to encourage you all to elevate your relationships to a higher level.
That's what's up. You heard of it. So let's go ahead and get into it. This is Love's Galaxy.
Falling on my skin, melting.
artist. I really like that.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I really do. I mean, it just has a nice uplifting vibe to it. You can tell it's just pleasant. It's a pleasant
vibe. Aw, we really appreciate that. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Staying on the subject of family, I wanted to ask you, how do you find time to balance, you know, having a family and, you know, having a music career? I know that, you know, it can't be easy.
It takes a lot of work. It really does. And I would say, you know, to balance everything out, you want to make sure you have a specific schedule for everything and
right.
make sure that you complete specific tasks. You know, say if you have a, you know, if you got promotions to do, you know, pick a specific time to do that, like, you know, maybe in the hours of 8 a.m. to 12 and then 12 p.m. And then after that, you know, make sure you have time to clean and, you know, do errands. And then you got, you know, if you have a, if you work at home, you know, you set aside some time because I teach at home. So I make sure I work, you know, twice a week. I don't do work on the weekends because that is the time I spend the most with my family. You know, I try not to schedule anything on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So I only work Wednesdays and Thursdays for that. And then, you know, trying to make sure that you spend time with your loved ones, you know, your spouse and your children. You know, you dedicate a huge amount of time, you know, to them. And make sure you don't, you know, try to mesh up the business and the family life together because you don't want to get caught up, you know, doing promotions all day long, and you know you didn't have any time to spend with your family. You know, you can't neglect your family. You know, you can always handle business, you know, like while your children are at school or while your husband's at work. So you know, you handle all of that stuff. So by the time they come home, you're done with everything, and you can just focus on them. So it's really all about really good planning. You know, time management is really is key. Time management is key, yeah. And you with that time management, you know, you can find a balance with, you know, juggling everything from music to your children to your spouse, you know, to work. You know, iCal, the program iCal really keeps me straight. Because it allows me to see what my schedule is, and it just helps, you know, it reminds me to do what, you know, tasks I need to do that day, and it, you know, I won't be forgetting a lot of things, so that is very helpful. I would highly suggest that keeping a, like a calendar, whether it's iCal or just, you know, a calendar on your phone or notes, emails, you know, whatever, you know, would work, you know, for you, you know. So,
right.
Yeah, you know, I would say time management and, scheduling.
Yeah, that's how Google Calendar is for me.
Yeah.
Same way.
I mean, they work wonders.
You're not lying. I want to ask you, and I have to apologize because I actually didn't know this information until I was researching for this interview.
Oh, it's okay.
You had an EP that came out, I believe, in 2005, Illuminate
Yes.
Love. I want to talk about that because
okay, sure.
I've never even heard that. I'm going to have to go find that. You know, like, what is that? I mean, I don't want to make it sound so vague, but, you know, what was the premise behind putting this EP out?
I mean, that EP, Illuminate Love, I mean, it was basically a test EP. You know, we haven't released anything, you know, like our own original project until that time. And, you know, we released four songs. There was four songs on that EP, and we wanted to see how people would react to our original compositions. And we didn't, you know, we were starting out, so we didn't know how to promote it. We didn't know how to sell it on, you know, iTunes and CD Baby and all of that. So, you know, looking back, you know, I wish we could have promoted it more, and it's kind of hard to get a, you know, we don't have any more physical copies, but, you know, we do have digital copies, but we have yet to decide whether we're going to bring it back or not. But, yeah, I mean, it's pretty much, you know, trying to test out the waters and to see if people, you know, would be able to, you know, get our sound and our lyrics. And, you know, we got pretty positive feedback from it. And we were excited to release a new project. So, you know, because of Illuminate Love, we were able to release Silk Philosophy. And I felt that, you know, it was just a nice way to introduce ourselves to the world. And, you know, we didn't want to come out with a 14 or 16 track, you know, album and people don't even know about us. So it was just kind of like, hey, you know, we're introducing ourselves, you know, musically and personally. So, yeah, it was a form of a musical introduction.
I can understand that. And, you know, you touched upon philosophy. I think I see what you did there with the title,
mm-hmm.
but I want you to explain that a little more. Because I think
okay.
I understand, but I don't want to say it and then I'd be wrong and be all embarrassed and stuff.
With philosophy, it's pretty much philosophy is a play on of philosophy. And that album, pretty much, it's the study of emotions through words and sounds. So we created different songs for different emotions. You get a song about joy, you get a song about anger, you get a song about being happy and sad, and, you know, just a bunch of different emotions and wonder, all of that, you know. And I wanted to create that album because I wanted to make it very emotional, because I was emotional during that part, that recording process. I was actually pregnant with my first child, and I wanted that album to represent the time of my life, you know, that period of my life. And, you know, all of those songs you can listen to when, you know, you have a certain emotion that you want to connect, you know, with music. Like, hey, you know, I feel kind of sad today, so, you know, maybe I'll listen to a sad song. There's a sad song on that album. Or I'm kind of frustrated right now. Maybe I want to listen to a song that, you know, that is kind of frustrating. So, you know, you pick a song from that album. So, yeah, it's just like a different collection of different emotional sounds. And that's where the term philosophy comes from.
Yeah, I like that.
Thanks.
I like that. I want to get into
another
song, but I want to ask you one last question about this. Can you speak to the growth, you know, your growth as an artist, you know,
mm-hmm.
from the time you put out your EP until now? You know, how each of these projects reflects. I mean, this is what I think I see, is that,
mm-hmm.
you know, each project kind of reflects, you know, like you said, a different point in your life and where
definitely.
You were and, you know, how you thought. And you seem like you tend to just, you know, express that through your music.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I would say, you know, there has been a spark of growth in each project. You know, with Illuminate Love, I was more of a, you know, I was very sensitive, you know, sensitive artist, you know, still trying to build my sound, you know, so I was, you know, I was still coming out with, you know, just like an experimentation of arrangements and lyrics. And so that, I would say that is my beginning point. You know, I was a very sensitive artist. You know, I wanted to create music that, you know, was still safe. You know, it is positive music, but I wasn't ready to branch out yet. And then I came out with Philosophy. Philosophy is pretty much similar to Illuminate Love. It still had that, you know, mellow, relaxed sound. I was still very sensitive. You know, I was very mm-hmm. emotional. And, you know, I didn't want to come out yet of, you know, like in a different sound yet. So, you know, I would say Illuminate Love is, it's like a bridge to Philosophy. You know, they're very similar in style. and vocals and musical sounds. But with Universal Symphony, that's when I just really stepped out of the box and I said, okay, you know, let's keep it soulful, but let's add some like different effects. Let's make a electronic song. Let's make a song that is more, you know, danceable. Let's make a ballad that's more mellow, but, you know, let's flip the storyline, you know, instead of it being about a relationship, let's talk about the relationship an artist has with music. That's Flowers and Candy. And so we wanted to really experiment and just push beyond our comfort zone, the boundaries of, you know, like fitting in a box or fitting in a genre. You know, with this project, is we had no rules. We had no barriers. We said, okay, let's just go all out. Let's just create and see where we end up. And we weren't afraid to, you know, if this song wasn't something that I, you know, that it didn't look like it represented me, you know, at the previous times, you know, I wanted to just come out and say, you know, this is a part of me. This is the different layers of my music. This is the different layers of my artistry. And I want to share that with you. And I want to be honest. So a lot of the songs that are in Universal Symphony, it talks about real life experiences, you know, pain and heartache, you know, not only just the joyful songs, but, you know, you'll hear the struggles and the pain and just, you know, just pure emotion from real places, you know, comes from a real place.
That's beautiful.
Thanks.
I like that. Well put.
Thank you.
Well put.
Thank
All right,
so
I'm
going
to play, actually, you pick which one. I could either play Joyful Way right now or Flowers and Candy.
Let's play Flowers and Candy.
All right. Now when I see that title, I think Valentine's Day. Am I close?
Yeah.
What the song is about?
You know what? Yeah. You know, a lot of people, you know, look at the song and say, hey, you know, Valentine's Day, or, you know, it's about love, but, you know, it's like I said before, it's actually it talks about the relationship between an artist and the music industry.
So the first part
is like, oh, you know, I love music. This is my life, you know, my true passion, and, you know, it brings me happiness. And then the second part is like, oh, my gosh, what is all of this, you know, frustration, and what is going on? And, you know, you have no idea, like, where this road leads, and it's a long and hard road as an independent artist. And then, you know, the third part is like, oh, wow, you know, it doesn't matter. I will stay true to myself. I will stay true to my art. And regardless, you know, I will still love music because, you know, it helps me grow, and it's a part of me. So, you know, that's what Flowers and Candy is all about.
All right, folks, let's take a listen.
Document it, then I will not remember it the next day. And also melodies come up randomly. You know, I could be cooking and a melody comes up, you know. So I'm really inspired by what I see and how I feel and how others feel and what people go through. I like to observe, and, you know, my those experiences, you know, it helps me come up with concepts for songs. And sometimes I plan it, you know, if a song is given to me, like, say, my husband gives me a track and I listen to it, I just play it over and over and over and over again, and I make sure I sit down, you know, on a specific day and write down my thoughts and try to write to the whole entire song. And, you know, sometimes I finish, sometimes I don't, and, you know, I come back to it. You know, when I'm in my deep writing process, you know, I want to be by myself. I turn off all electronic devices. I close the door, and I just sit in the room and just, you know, it has to be quiet, and I won't leave the room until I finish writing a song.
Wow.
And sometimes it'll take, you know, days. Sometimes it'll take me hours, but sometimes, you know, I revise a song. Sometimes I don't. You know, I leave it the way it is the first time I wrote it because I wanted to have, like, more of an organic kind of feel. But, you know, sometimes I revise it. You know, maybe a line is just not working with the rhythm of the song, so I revise it. And it really does vary. But, you know, I'm definitely inspired by conversations, by things that I watch, by things that I see, even simple things like my children having a conversation or you know, I observe something outside while I'm grocery shopping. You know, something like really simple like that. Or, you know, an abstract concept that I've seen in a movie. You know, so just different things. I mean, life is like, there's so much inspiration that you can find in the little things, you know, as well as the complex things. So you just have to be open. You have to be aware of that. But yeah, I would say it varies. It varies from time to time. I don't have a set way to write or create.
It's funny because I was just saying, like, you actually answered my last two questions.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was sitting here trying to think of another question because, like, wow, she already nailed those. Okay. Okay, I have one. Now, the reason why I ask the songwriting questions is because I'm looking to get into songwriting. You know, I'm a poet.
Nice.
So everybody always says, you know, it's the transition is easy, but it's not so easy for me.
Mm.
So, you know, I don't know what it is. I think it's because, like, I don't actually sing, so I don't really ever think of, you know, melodies and stuff like that. You know, for me, it's just strictly writing. But what kind of advice would you give to someone like me who, you know, wants to get into songwriting and not necessarily being an artist? Because I think that's a different path. Like, eventually, someone else is going to have to sing my songs.
I see.
So I would imagine it's a little different.
Yeah, I would say a really cool exercise, a songwriting exercise. You know, it's really simple. It's a very simple exercise, but the effect you get is wow. It's pretty profound. I forgot where I read it. I don't remember where I read this exercise from. I think it was one of the online songwriting exercises that I just came across randomly. And so basically what you do is you choose, you know, a song that you really love lyrically, like, say, a Stevie Wonder song. And so you pick, what's your favorite Stevie Wonder song? It's just like, you know, if you have to choose one. I know there's a lot.
Yeah, there is. Okay, let's just, Part-Time Lover. That's the first one.
Okay, so, you know, Part-Time Lover, you know. So, you know, like the exercise calls for, say, you look at the lyrics of Part-Time Lover. You print out the lyrics of Part-Time Lover, or you can just, you know, view it on your computer or whatever device you want to use. And, you know, you get your your notebook or your journal and you copy the lyrics to that song. And so by doing this exercise, it allows you to get into the mind of the songwriter while they were writing it. I know it's a crazy concept, but I tried it. I tried it with Janelle Monáe's Say You'll Go, and from her Arc Android album, and I got to the point where I was in her character, like, oh, I know why she rhymed this word with that word, and I know why she, you know, she wrote these lyrics to paint a specific picture. And so you learn the styles of those songwriters, whether it's like the rhyming words or, you know, the meter or the like the different similes and the metaphors, and you know, it's just, it really brings you to their, like, what they were thinking while they were creating it. It's a trip. It's a huge trip, but because, you know, although while you're writing it, you don't really think about, like, oh, okay, you know, you're just writing words, but, you know, pretty soon in the middle of the song, you're just like, wow, you kind of get the writing flow. You know, maybe the first and the third line rhymes, or the second and the fourth line rhymes, or none of the words rhyme, but there's a specific reason why they structured that song that way. And with that exercise, yeah, you get a sense of their mind while they're creating it. It also gives you some tips on, how their song structure was laid out. It's like a blueprint for their songs. And also another thing is, picking out your favorite songs, like your favorite R&B song, your favorite jazz song, and trying to study, you know, the compositions, like whether it's the lyric writing or the vocal styling, you know, trying to match that, not copy, but like, you know, try to emulate that. And then, you know, pretty soon you have like a different melody that was born from that one jazz song. Like, you're like, whoa, it's kind of similar, but it's not the same. You know, whether it's like just a bass line, you know, you can, like, you get inspired by a bass line and then you put that in your song, but you kind of tweak it a little bit, you know, a few notes. So, you know, it's just, I would say, yeah, study different styles. And I think the writing style really helps.
Mm-hmm.
The writing exercise really helps, because not only do you get a sense of their style, but it also helps you come to that place where they were at, you know, in their mind. It's really amazing. It's an amazing exercise, and you know, it's like one of those exercises that you just kind of randomly read on Twitter or Facebook. You're like, okay, you know, I'll click on the link and see what this is all about. Something so simple, but yet it is very helpful. And you know, songwriting books are good too. So, online blogs, you know, for songwriting or songwriting tips. You know, sometimes they have email blasts of different tips. So, you know, I like the internet is wonderful for information for songwriting, or, you know, like books on Amazon,
right,
that you can pick up. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel you. I was just thinking, I never thought to do that, though. Just write the lyrics, write down the lyrics to the song. Usually, you're listening to it, write it down, or, you know, like you just said, like pull it up on the internet and then just copy it.
I mean, what I did, I didn't even listen to the song. I just, I just printed it out and then I wrote it. I wrote it down on a piece of paper, and you're just like, whoa, this is pretty powerful stuff. And then you can apply that songwriting style to your own songs, and it's like, whoa. And there's so many different styles out there. You know, you just got to tap into it. And, and then also the other thing that I learned is, you know, picking out the greatest hits of, you know, say Michael Jackson, and, you know, studying that, like the prime songwriters like Quincy Jones and Stevie Wonder, just really, really dissecting their lyrics and their, you know, vocal embellishments. And it's like a whole world of knowledge out there, you know, when it comes to writing songs. It's really amazing. But I would say, you know, like songwriting, like you don't have to write a whole song in one day. You know, if a concept comes up, like even if it's just a few words, you know, write it down, like wherever it is, napkin or your arm or your hand, you know, like something random. But, you know, that way you can record it and have it on file, you know, and you can come back to that and then you can brainstorm and, you know, and just develop that story.
Right. I'm sitting here.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, like, at this point, you know, like at this point in your career,
mm-hmm.
you know, my assumption is that, you know, you've mastered the songwriting process enough, you know, where you don't necessarily have to do that exercise anymore per se.
You know what? I still do.
Really?
I still do. Yeah, I still do. You know, I feel that, you know, my songwriting and my singing is always a work in progress. You know, I always feel like there's always room for improvement. You know, it's all about growing and it's all about learning, you know, through the process. You know, there's never enough, you know, that you can put in. You know, you have to make sure you constantly evolve. You know, when you feel comfortable, you're like, okay, no, I have to challenge myself again. So I would say it's a growing process. You know, I still do simple exercises, whether it's just writing words, you know, a concept. You know, I try not to say, okay, I'm done and that's it, I'm going to move forward. You know, sometimes the basics are the best tools.
Right.
Because it allows you to grow. It allows you to, you know, sharpen your tools and also, you know, it reminds you that, you know, without the basics, you know, how can you move forward, you know, say, you know, with singing, like, if you don't know how to breathe, then how can you, you know, produce sound, you know, without producing sound, how can you do all these runs and riffs? So it's like sometimes you got to sing a song straight. You know, you got to just keep it basic sometimes.
I understand. Yeah, before I let you go, I want to make sure that I get this last song in, but
okay.
Before we do that, I want to give you the opportunity to, you know, put any information that you have that you want to share with the world, you know, anything, whatever it is.
Sure.
I give you the floor. You know, please, feel free.
Thank you. Well, first of all, thank you, Dwayne, for supporting indie soul artists, you know, independent artists in general. Thank you so much for giving us a platform to be heard. And, you know, thank you for supporting our movement. Thank you so much. And you know, to all the independent artists out there, you know, I have a lot of love for you all. And, you know, let's continue to support each other, to encourage each other, because it's so important to build a community, especially as an independent artist. You know, it's tough. It's tough out there. And, you know, I want to thank everyone out there for listening. You know, I really do appreciate the love and support. And to everyone out there just, you know, trying to follow their dreams, you know, don't give up and always remain true to yourself, no matter what. No matter how hard the journey gets, no matter what people say, always stay true to yourself. Because you know your art more than anybody else does, and you know yourself and what you want to bring forth to the world. And people will see that. And, you know, I want to say hi to my family and my friends, you know, and I'll be praying for the East Coast, you know, sending my love to the East Coast.
Yeah, that was rough.
Yes, it's very rough, very rough. I actually was watching the airing of, I think it was on NBC, Brian Wilson, they were showing footage of the, you know, different tragedies in East Coast, and it's heartbreaking. It's going to take a while to rebuild the cities, you know, and I hope that, you know, they can find some strength, you know, in this tough situation. And I'll definitely be keeping them in my prayers.
I can dig it. What I, you know, just articles I read and whatnot, it's also showing the side of the people that live there, you know, like people are rallying together, supporting each other.
Yeah.
Like I saw this one family that actually had power, you know, amidst the people who didn't. You know, they actually ran two surge protector strips out to their front gate and let people charge their cell phones. You know, just things like that.
Wow.
And I was listening to Democracy Now! This morning, and they were actually speaking to people from, they called it the Occupy Sandy. It was like a branch of Occupy Wall Street or whatever, and basically they had teamed up with this kitchen to, like, serve meals and allow people to charge their phones and stuff like that.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really nice. I mean, it's really nice to see people come together like that.
Yes, yes.
I mean, basically that's just, it's almost on the same level as Katrina. It's the same kind of thing. It's just not as much death, and that's fortunate that, you know, it wasn't as much death, but yeah, it's always unfortunate when things like that happen. But like you said, you know, our prayers go out to them.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have friends out there, so.
So
know,
do I.
I try to call, at least try to make sure that they know that I'm calling them.
Yeah.
I can't get in touch with them. But, before you forget, I want you to, you know, put your information out there as to where, you know, listeners can find you, can get your music, all of that good stuff.
You can find me at tracycruz.com. That's TracyCruz.com. Also, I'm on Facebook.com/TracyCruz Music page and Twitter.com/TracyCruz Music. I'm on YouTube, CD Baby, Amazon, iTunes, Spotify, and different online stores. You know, just say hi, and you know, I'll make sure to reply back. I always respond, always. And, you know, it's great to interact with the listeners out there as well, as well as your fellow artists, too. And,
right.
You know, we just want to strengthen the movement. And, you know, there's just so many, it's wonderful to know that there's other independent artists out there. And, you know, there's great, you know, radio stations like yours, you know, that help us. And it's just wonderful, you know. Let's just keep the movement going, and let's just keep building, you know, making it stronger. And, you know, hopefully we'll get our time to shine. You know, I know it's coming soon, because there's just so many outlets now that where independent artists can be seen and heard, and that's a beautiful thing.
True. So true. All right. Now, I want you to take us out of here with a little something about what George Horaine is about.
Okay. Joyful Rain is also from Universal Symphony. I wrote this song through my inspiration for God and my husband and just love, you know, unconditional love. And, you know, Joyful Rain pretty much symbolizes that, you know, rain does not have to be about sadness or pain. You know, joyful rain can be a sign of a smile or happiness in your heart. You know, when you feel loved by somebody, when you feel cared for. And I wanted to use rain to symbolize the tears of joy you cry when you have an overwhelming sense of love from somebody else. And I feel that, you know, this song, you know, hopefully can inspire somebody through that kind of love.
I was over here smiling. See, that's nice. That is nice.
Thank you so much.
Folks, you heard it. This is Joyful Rain. Come on, as soon as the cursor wants to talk, come on, move. All right, there we go. Yeah, I like that little piano thing at the end. That was Tracy Cruz, Joyful Rain off of Universe Soul Symphony CD. Thank you, Ms. Cruz, for hanging out with me. I had a real good time. You are welcome back anytime. Please take me up on that. You are welcome back anytime. I really, really appreciate, you know, talking to artists like you, because I can tell when you speak that, you know, you have depth in your words and you mean what you say, and I appreciate that, you know, the sincerity. But we got to keep it moving. What I actually want to try to do is finish out the playlist that I was trying to play before the technical difficulty started. I believe I played Water Seed. I believe I played Water Seed. I'm not sure. Yes, I did. I did. I played Water Seed. Okay. So I know I'm going to start off with Terry Tobin here. Let me go ahead and line up. Let me get the all right, here we go. All right. Yeah, we're going to play that there. Before I do that, though, I want to thank each and every one of you for listening tonight. I hope you enjoyed the interview. I hope you enjoyed the show, even through the technical difficulties. And again, I apologize for that. And if you're listening through the archives, as always, I invite you to listen in live every Friday, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, right here on the Flavor News Radio Network. You can find us at soulcityradio.com. Once you get there, click on the Soul Sessions Radio tab, and that will take you right to the chat room and the player. Now that I've gotten that out of the way, yes, let's get back to the music. Again, this is Terry Tobin with Love Me. You are listening to Soul Sessions. See you next week.
Greatest work of art, the one that hears you
and when